In 1967, French philosopher Guy Debord published a slim volume that would become one of the most prescient critiques of modern society ever written. The Society of the Spectacle feels more relevant today than when it was written, dissecting how images mediate our social relationships in ways that have only intensified with time. What makes this text so compelling is its unflinching examination of how modern capitalism transforms authentic social life into a parade of representations, a world where having has been replaced by merely appearing, and where our relationships with each other are increasingly mediated through images we passively consume rather than experiences we actively create. From social media profiles to curated Instagram feeds, from celebrity worship to political theater, the spectacle has become the organizing principle of contemporary existence. At the heart of Debord's analysis lies a fundamental inversion. In modern society, reality has been replaced by its representation. What was once directly lived experience has become a mere image, a shadow play of authentic life. This isn't just philosophical abstraction, but the concrete foundation of our social organization. We increasingly experience life through screens, documenting moments rather than living them. While direct experience forms a continuous flow of emotion and sensation, representational life consists of detached images stripped from context. We judge our lives against these representations, creating a paradox where the image becomes more important than the experience itself. The spectacle both connects and separates us. We share common reference points through media and consumer culture, yet these same forces atomize us into isolated individuals. The spectacle presents itself as indisputable. What appears is good. What is good appears, creating a closed system that resists criticism. Our difficulty imagining alternatives to consumer capitalism demonstrates how thoroughly the spectacle has colonized our imagination. The spectacle represents the moment when commodities achieve total occupation of social life. Beyond mere purchases, commodities have become our existence's organizing principle. This transformation began with the Industrial Revolution and culminated in post-war consumer capitalism, shifting from addressing basic needs to manufacturing endless pseudo-needs. Early capitalism valued workers solely for labor. As commodity abundance became accessible, the system expanded to treat workers as consumers, whose leisure time became a new economic frontier. This creates a paradox. Economic growth liberates us from natural scarcity, only to make us dependent on artificial scarcity. Despite solving survival problems, we work longer hours to afford an expanding array of products we're convinced we need. The spectacle transforms both satisfaction and survival into commodities. Survival must continually expand, creating perpetual lack. New consumer goods provide only fleeting contentment before the next model triggers another cycle of desire and disappointment. Society has evolved from being to having, and now from having to appearing. All having must derive prestige from appearances. We value possessions not primarily for utility, but for what they communicate about status, consuming products for their sign value in the social hierarchy rather than their use value. The spectacle presents itself as simultaneously united and divided, building unity upon disjunction. It appears as society itself and as a means of unification, a contradiction most evident in politics, where power struggles mask the continuation of the status quo. Political parties use fierce rhetoric while maintaining capitalism's fundamental structures. Their theatrical conflicts conceal their essential unity in preserving the spectacle. The system creates false dichotomies that generate trivial loyalties through manufactured oppositions in sports and elections. Celebrities serve as the spectacle's living representatives, offering models of actually lived lives. People compensate for specialized work by identifying with celebrities who appear to live completely. Yet these pseudo-lives offer no real choice. Each celebrity becomes a public commodity, surrendering their unique identity. The most admired are often those known for their fakeness, famous precisely for behavior below acceptable standards. Beneath these false dichotomies lies a unity of poverty, trivial differences maintained within continued alienation. Individuals become united in opposition to each other, while real contradictions remain repressed. The spectacle has transformed time from a dimension of human experience into a commodity. Traditional societies experienced time cyclically, following natural rhythms that fostered authentic communal participation. Capitalism replaced this with linear, irreversible time measured by clocks and workdays, what De Bord calls the time of production. In this system, time becomes segmented units for purchase and sale, where time is everything, man is nothing, at best he is the carcass of time. Alongside production time exists pseudo-cyclical time, supposedly free time allocated for consumption. Though appearing as leisure, it maintains the same commodified characteristics. As workers gain more vacation time, they must use it consuming entertainment products, transforming free time into raw material for new commodities. Modern society converts traditional holidays from communal celebrations marking seasonal transitions into consumption opportunities. Christmas becomes a shopping season rather than a spiritual event. These pseudo-festivals poorly imitate traditional communal celebrations, generating disappointment centered on promises of equally disappointing future pseudo-events. The spectacle reorganizes physical space, eliminating geographic uniqueness while creating new forms of separation. Capitalist production has become ubiquitous, breaking down barriers between societies and trivializing local cultures through commodification. As technology eliminates geographic distance, spectacular separation creates internal distances, replacing direct experience with ephemeral recreations. Tourism exemplifies this contradiction, reducing travel to viewing the banal while ensuring places become equivalent through standardized management. Urbanism preserves class power by maintaining worker atomization. Modern architecture no longer creates unique places, but reproduces mass habitats dictated by production conditions, with identical designs and businesses appearing worldwide. We now witness the destruction of organic urban environments through an urbanism that explodes cities into formless mass of thinly spread semi-urban tissue. Automobile-oriented consumption reconfigures environments around speed and parking. Unlike traditional cities that mixed people, modern urbanism creates a new artificial peasantry, isolated not by physical distance but by architectural separation, blinded by spectacular images. Despite the spectacle's apparent domination, resistance remains possible. Self-emancipation requires breaking free from falsified reality. The revolutionary project of a classless society demands inclusive historical life where all participate, replacing singular historical time with multiple, independent, playful times. A consciousness of history that threatens the spectacle can reclaim live time. Through revolutionary acts, individuals must build environments allowing autonomous control of their labor and history. Revolution creates space for dynamic play with freely chosen rules, liberating spaces while rediscovering places' unique character. The most revolutionary idea isn't found in urbanism, technology, or aesthetics, but in reconstructing our environment based on human needs rather than profit. The true negation of culture preserves its value by transforming everyday life itself, not by opposing dominant culture with counterculture. Living outside the spectacle means creating rather than consuming, participating rather than observing, directly experiencing rather than passively receiving. Recognizing the spectacle's hold on our imagination is the first step toward authentic connection, active creation, and direct participation. The spectacle's power depends on our belief in its inevitability. Seeing through this illusion allows us to create something real.